This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You alone are my
redemption. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a privilege to once again join you, for those of you online and also for those here in person. It's always a privilege to be in the house of the Lord, and I want to take this opportunity to say a very warm welcome to all of you, and we will take our opening song. So if you don't mind, for those here, you can rise up on your feet whilst we sing our opening song, which is saying, "Awesome is the Lord Most High." Great are you, Lord, mighty in strength. You are faithful, you will ever be. We will praise you all of our day. For your glory, we offer everything. Raise your hands, all you nations, shout to God, all creation. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Where you send us, God, we will go. You're the answer we want the world to know. We will trust you, you call our name. Where you lead us, we'll fall away. Raise your hands, all you nations, shout to God, all creation. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Praise you together, now and forever. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Say hallelujah, hallelujah. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Raise your hands, all ye nations, shout to God, all creation. How awesome is the Lord Most High. We will praise you together, for now and forever. How awesome is the Lord Most High.
It's now time for worship, and maybe before we start worshiping, I would like to read the scripture anchoring today's worship. It was taken from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, and I read, it says, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you.'" So this is a word which came through the prophet Jeremiah to the people of Israel. Now the background of this was that they were in exile, and they had gone through so much pain that I can imagine that many of them were doubting whether the love of God was still present. But when God was speaking and prophesying about the restoration of Israel, this word came through the prophet. And I believe that at this particular point in time, the Lord wants to remind us of the everlasting love that he has for us. If we look at the scripture very well, it starts by saying that the Lord has appeared of old to me saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. So the yes over there is an affirmation. So in case you are doubting the love of God for you, the Lord is saying that, yes, out of my love I called you, and yes, regardless of your state, I still love you. So with this background, I want you to join me as we rise up on our feet. For those joining us online, wherever you are, you want to also join us. And let us sing of the love of the Lord. Let us appreciate and show gratitude for the love that he has given us.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Oh, the sand sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. The sand sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Woo, the sand sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. We worship you, Lord. Oh, oh, oh. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
You want to sing it?
You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I'm chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Lovers call my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
And declare, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. No, 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 no. I am a child of God.
Thank you, Father. Thank you that we could sing, I'm a child of yours, for that privilege what we've got, that we can call ourselves children of yours, Father, sons and daughters of the Creator of heaven and earth, that we can have a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. What a privilege. What an awesome privilege, Father. But you want to give it to each and every one, not only to us, but also for the people outside, those who do not know you yet. Father, we pray, Lord, that they're going to hear that message. And maybe there are some of them who are inside now or maybe watching or listening afterwards. That I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit is going to open their spiritual ears and their spiritual eyes. That they're going to understand and hear what is the message, what you've got for them this afternoon, Father. Because you love them. You love each and every one. Because you because it's your creation. You love your creation. And we thank you, Father, that we can be part of your family through Jesus Christ. And yes, the enemy is trying to distract us, is trying to distract our minds that we're thinking about what happened just now or earlier today or this week. But we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can set it aside, that we can focus on what you want to share with us this afternoon, Father. We give you all the glory and all the honor in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The title for this afternoon is Be Obedient. And before I'm going to start with the side of being obedient, I'm going to talk about the other side, which is disobedient. Because I think if I'm going to ask you, then all of you will most probably know a certain stage or a certain place in your life where you've been disobedient. You maybe have been disobedient towards the government, where you didn't give all the income that you had, tried to sidestep some tax over there. You were disobedient. You maybe were disobedient towards the company where you're working. You took some paper and some pens along at the end of the day. There was enough at work that you can bring it home and that you can give it to your child or give it to somebody else that they can use it or that you can use it yourself. And maybe you were disobedient towards your parents. Maybe you did something that you remember that you said, yes, I was disobedient. You wanted to go to that party and your mom and dad said, no, my son, no, my daughter, you're not going. But you were disobedient. You climbed out of the window and you went to that party. Because it was for you, it was more important to go and attend the party, to be with your friends, as what it was to be obedient to your parents. You were disobedient. And we're also sometimes disobedient towards God's will, that we're doing something what God is asking us to do, but we fail. We're not doing what God is us asking to do. And I think all of us, including me, can fill in quite a few of those situations where we said, there I failed, there I disappointed God, I was disobedient towards Him. But today we're not going to talk about disobedience, we're not going to talk about sin, we're not going to talk about hell, we're going to talk about being obedient, what God wants us to be, that we should be obedient. And if we're going to be obedient towards God, then automatically we're going to be obedient towards the government, towards our parents, towards the work, or if you're studying, towards whoever is at the university. It's automatically flowing out of that because you're obedient to the Creator of heaven and earth. He's above all, and if you're obedient to Him, it's so much easier to be obedient to the others as well. But it could be that there are maybe something, they're asking you something to do something which is ungodly. And then you've got to be disobedient. But God will also always ask you something which is godly. It's from God. But if the government is asking you to do something, it could be ungodly. And then you can be disobedient. Then you can say, no, this is not from God. I cannot do it. But we've got to be obedient towards God. And then we will always be obedient towards the others. And being obedient means it's an action. It's not something passive. It's not something which is delivered by you by bol.com and you put it in your kitchen and then you are obedient. No, it's an action. You've got to do something. You've got to be active. There's a movement in it. And is there something new about being obedient and being disobedient? No, nothing new. If we open up the Bible and if we take a look at the first book, Genesis, we already see Adam and Eve. They were disobedient over there. They were not obedient of what God was telling them to do. And it's not that God said, you know what, I just tried and now it's already a mess up. I'm going to leave this earth and I'm going to create another one and I'm going to leave Adam and Eve over there. They must sort out themselves. No. God loves His creation. We've been singing about it just now. And God was looking for Adam. And He asked him. We can read it in Genesis 3, verses 9. Then the Lord called to Adam, and he said to him, "Where are you? Where are you, Adam? I love you. I love my creation. I don't want you that you're going to get lost. You sinned. You were aware of that. You were disobedient. You walked away. You tried to hide yourself. I'm looking for you. I'm seeking for you. Adam, where are you?" And God is still asking that same question to each and every one over the whole earth, each and every day. Where are you? He's waiting for us that we should react on that question, that we should react on that call. Where are you? At the moment, I'm reading the book of Judges. And if you take a look at the book of Judges, then you think, okay, Joshua got all the people through the desert, got them into the land. It's the promised land. Fortunately, now they are there. Everything is settled. They've arrived where they wanted to be. They've arrived where God promised to their fathers that they were going to go to a promised land of milk and honey, flowing of milk and honey, and you think everything is going to be 100%, but it's not. Each and every time they've got a problem, and then God has got to help them there again. Each and every time they were disobedient. In Judges 2, verses 1 and 2, there's an angel of the Lord who's putting it actually in words. Then the angel of the Lord came from Gilgal to Bochim and said, "I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you." God is never breaking his covenant with us. God is never disobedient towards us. "And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this?" The angel of the Lord is asking, "You haven't obeyed my voice. You were not obedient. Why have you done this?" And then the people reacted. They started screaming and they cried. And they went each to their own place. But they were looking for God and they were continuously seeking for God. And when they started crying, then there was another judge which the Lord sent to help them out of that problem, that they could go to the next phase. Joshua was at a certain time still there, but when he died, there was no one there anymore who could testify and say, "I saw the miracles of God which happened in Egypt or in the desert, or which happened when we went through the Jordan or with Jericho or whatever." Those testimonies were not there anymore. They could only live from those testimonies which were written down. And it was difficult for them. And each and every time they made mistakes, they took the gods from the people who were around them because they were not obedient. But God said to them, "You must tear down the altars. You must wipe them out." Sounds very harsh. God knew why he has said it, but they were disobedient. They haven't done it. And each and every time, the Lord did not leave them or forsake them. Judges 2, verses 16 and 17, it says over there, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which the father walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do." They walked away from the way that their fathers walked because they were obeying the commandments of the Lord. But those who were in the land of Israel now, they were disobedient. They did not do so. And God has got a plan. He's got an awesome plan with Jesus to restore that broken relationship, that where we are disobedient, where we can come and where we can go to God, and God has got a plan for it. He sent Jesus over there. And Jesus was that perfect example of the love what God has got for his creation. And he came down, and he came down to heal the sick, to heal the broken, that people could be raised out of debt, and that they were not going to be disobedient anymore. And Jesus was the perfect example, and Jesus also helped them. Jesus also helped the people to guide them, to lead them, how to become obedient. If we take a look at the story of the rich young man, he came to Jesus and he asked. And then Jesus replied to him. In Matthew 19, verses 21 and 22, Jesus said to him, to the rich young man, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be obedient to God, if you want to be exactly what God wants you to be, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowfully because he had great possessions. His possessions were more important than the will of God. And if we've got something which is more important than the will of God, or we put something else above God, then we are disobedient towards God. Then we are not obedient, because then we become obedient to the possession, to possessions, and not to what God wants us to do. Jesus came to earth for a short period. He died for our sins. He went to heaven. And then the Holy Spirit was sent to us to help us also to be obedient, to become obedient to what God wants us to do, to guide us. And there's no better place where we can read that in the first chapters of Acts, of where the apostles are putting in practice of what Jesus has been teaching them for 3 years plus. And they were obedient. They wanted to walk exactly the way that Jesus told them to walk. Because Jesus told them, go and tell. And they did exactly what they had to do in the new church. I want to read Acts 5, verses 29, where Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They understood the message which they heard from Jesus for 3 years. God first. We've got to be obedient towards God. And Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey. We must. We need to obey. It's necessary for us to obey. We should obey. There's no other option. We've got to obey God rather than men. And that word obey consists of two parts. One of it is that you're going to submit to authority and that you're going to listen to the authority. So it's not only a matter of that you're going to think about it and you submit, which means you put that authority above you. And if we put it in godly terms, then it means we've got to submit to God and we've got to listen to God. This is what obeying is concerned. It's not a matter that we're only going to listen whenever we feel free or that we're going to submit to God, but we're not prepared to seek his face and to listen what he wants us to do in this world. It's a combination of those two. We've got to submit to God and we've got to listen to God, and he will guide us then. This verse of Peter and the apostles comes after a story happened over there. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples. Peter had his sermon over there, which must have been an awesome sermon that so many people came to believe and that they followed Jesus Christ over there, or that they accepted Jesus Christ over there. And then they healed a lame man. And the Sanhedrin didn't like it. They arrested. They arrested for John and Paul. And they had a hearing. And they told them, the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin, which is consisting of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and sometimes the Herodians as well. And they said to him, do not speak about Jesus anymore. They were forbidden to speak about Jesus. But this was an instruction which was given to them of the highest ranking in the church. But they were not obedient to that. They were obedient to what God told them to do. Jesus told them, go and tell. So they had to choose. Were they going to be disobedient towards the church structure, or were they going to be disobedient towards God? And like they said before, we rather obey God than man. And then they continued with the Gospels. They did signs and they did wonders. And then, yes, the guys got arrested again. And then they were put in jail, and there were going to be a hearing. Then the people gathered for the hearing. They sent the people to to get the Peter and the apostles, and how many apostles exactly we don't know, to get them out of jail, and they were not there because an angel was there. And the angels released them out, and the angel said to them, go to the temple and carry on what God told you to do. Now, with our brains, we most probably would have said, it's time to hide a little bit because we're going to be in trouble again. But when the Sanhedrin was sitting over there, and when they instructed to get Peter and the apostles, they couldn't find them. And then they heard they were in the temple again. They were busy again over there. And then when they got hold of them, they were in front of the Sanhedrin. Then the Sanhedrin started talking to them. They didn't talk about how did you get out of prison, because they most probably couldn't explain it. It could have been another miracle again, which would have been difficult for the Sanhedrin to accept. So what they did is they said, you've been disobedient. We told you last time not to speak about Jesus anymore. But now you're speaking about Jesus anymore. Now you're starting to speak about Jesus. You must stop talking about Jesus. Because in that phrase over there, it says, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. So what they were doing, the disciples, the apostles, was exactly what Jesus told them to do. Go and tell. They've done it. Even the Sanhedrin is acknowledging, you filled Jerusalem with a doctrine. And then the Sanhedrin asked and said, didn't we tell you? And then Peter and the apostles replied, we ought to obey God rather than men. And then he carries on. And in that short three verses of Acts 5 of 32-32, there's such a lot of information built in there. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus. The Sanhedrin consisted of Sadducees. Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. Immediately he was attacking the thinking of the Sadducees over there. So immediately you've got already friction between the Sanhedrin, because some believed in resurrection and some didn't believe in resurrection. This Peter was it must have been the Holy Spirit leading him over there, what he said over there. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Immediately accused him. He said, you, Sanhedrin, you are guilty of Jesus who you hanged on a tree. Him, Jesus, God exalted to his right to be prince and savior. Two titles, prince. He's going to be a ruler, and he's going to be your savior. Ruler meaning that you're going to submit to him, and he's going to rule over you. What we've seen in the word obey as well. To give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. He's talking again. He said, Jesus came for all, including you. It's for all Israelites. And for forgiveness of sins. And we are his witness to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. If we take that sentence, the last sentence, and we read it backwards, then it says, if we obey him, we're receiving the Holy Spirit. So that we can be a testimony, that we can be a witness for Jesus. If we obey God, then we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we can be a witness for him. And then, after Peter gives this type of, let's call it, speech to them and telling them exactly what was necessary, they didn't really know how to do and how to handle it. And Gamaliel, the guy, said, you know what, if it's from God, we don't want to fight against it. But if it's from man, it will sort out himself. And then the apostles were beaten, and they were sent, and they were released. But they carried on a daily basis. They came together in the temple, they came together in the houses, they were teaching and preaching continuously. And what they were doing, we can see that result in Acts 6:7. And it says, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. A lot of people were added to the Church of God. But listen, and a great many of priests were obedient to the faith. Even priests were added to God's kingdom over there. It wasn't just the Israelites, the normal guy in the street, but even included the priest, those who were so against the gospel, they turned around. They saw, but this is a message, this is a very important message, what we've got to hear, and they turned around, they obeyed the faith. And if we're going to obey the faith, then we're going to embrace the doctrines of that gospel. We're going to embrace what the faith is including. And then we're also going to submit to it. We're going to listen to that. The last one where I want to talk about who was really about obedience is Paul, specifically the letter to the Romans. He's talking about obedience continuously, being obedient. Romans 1, verses 5 to 6. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you are also called of Jesus Christ. This is in the introduction of his letter to the Romans. He didn't start that church, Paul, but he wrote a letter to them. And he's saying over there, we've received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith, so that we can be obedient to the faith among all nations. So it's not going to be only for certain people, it's going to be for all nations, for his name, among whom you also are called of by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is calling all of them. Faith is the goal, what Paul is talking about over here. And obedience comes from faith. And we've got to grow our faith if we want to grow our obedience and if we want to be obedient. We've got to grow our faith. It's not a matter of works what we've got to do, but we've got to follow Jesus Christ and we've got to put Jesus Christ first in our lives. Geoffrey was talking about it last week, that if you're going to read scripture and if you're going to memorize it and if you're going to keep it close to you, it's part of this. It's part of this growth in faith that Jesus Christ continuously has got to be on our mind. We've got to be busy with him. And if we are busy with Jesus Christ continuously, out of that faith, we will see that obedience is flowing. Then it is easy for us that we can be obedient. And where are we obedient in? What is the final goal? The final goal, that Jesus' name is going to be exalted. It's going to be about Jesus Christ. It's not going to be about us. It's not going to be about a church or a certain group or anything like that or a certain country. It's about exalting Jesus Christ in our lives. That is where it ultimately is going about. I want to finish off with a saying what you've maybe heard before. You're a slave to the one you obey. You're a slave to the one you obey, whether to righteousness or to sin. And this part is coming out of Romans 6, verses 16, where it says, do you not know that to whom you are present yourselves slaves to obey, to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. The one whom we're going to obey, this is the one where we're going to be his or her slave. Either it's going to be to sin or it's going to be righteousness. Obedience is flowing out of that faith. And obedience is leading that at the final end, Jesus is going to be exalted. Because I want to live a life where Jesus is going to be exalted. I want to be obedient to what God is telling me. And I want to be continuously busy with growing my faith. And when my faith is growing, my obedience is also growing. I'm going to be more and more obedient to what God is telling me to do. And then we can say, along with Peter and with the other apostles, like we've read just now in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. And that's a decision what each and every one of us has got to make each and every day. Because people are telling us certain things what we've got to do. And we've got to make a decision. Are we going to obey what that person is saying to me? Or am I going to obey what God is telling me to do? And obeying is that you're going to submit and that you're going to listen and that you're continuously going to be busy with God and that you're going to grow in faith. We're not all in the same stage what faith is concerned, what sanctification is concerned, what our growth in faith is concerned, what our obedience is concerned. For one person, it's easier. For another person, it's more difficult. And when I was busy with this sermon, I got two pictures, which I feel is for two people at different stages. The first picture what I got is red flowers. And I feel that this is for a lady. And it could be that somebody sitting in over here who says, yes, that's for me. I'm not sure about it. Could also be one who's watching or listening afterwards. But I felt that the Lord is saying, you think you're insignificant. You think you do not mean actually anything, or that you can contribute anything to God's kingdom. God is telling you, your presence is already pleasure to other people. So it's not that you are insignificant. God can use you and be obedient. So don't hide yourself and say, I'm too small. Yes, you're not big. But you're part of something which is big. Shofar Church is not big, but we are part of something that's big. And if that's you, I don't know, or maybe later on when you're praying about it, you say, okay, that message was for me, then be that presence of God wherever you go. If it is in your work, if it is at your study, if it is in the family, whatever it is. Because God made you beautiful so that you're going to be a pleasure for the people around you. These flowers is just to give you a little bit of an idea, the picture what I had. I didn't want to do red roses because that's everything. When we see red flowers, then it's always red roses. But it's flowers which is beautiful because if you've got flowers somewhere, it creates a total different atmosphere. Go in a Saturday morning over here at Jan's Kerkhof when they've got the flowers over there. All the people are smiling over there. It's the atmosphere, the flowers are there, and this is what you've got to be, where God made you for. So whoever it is, please take this one and use it. It's a female person, the red flowers. The next one is for a male person. And this is a person who has been plowing for quite a long time, who have been sowing for a long time. And God is saying now, it's time for harvest. You've got to open your mouth now. You've got to call the people in into your God's kingdom. This is for a male person. I don't know all of you. I don't know your circumstances. I haven't got a clue. Some of them, yes, a little bit. But if it's for you, if it's maybe somebody watching or listening afterwards, then please take it and start doing it. Start harvesting. You're in a different season as what the first person is, that female person. Not to say that the female person or in the stage and the man, or in, it could be a total different way around as well, but this is what I felt what God is saying. Start harvesting. You've been sowing for such a long time already, but now you've got to start harvesting so that God's kingdom can come in. And that is where we've got to be obedient. And this is the message what I would like to give to you for the week ahead. Be obedient. Grow in your faith with God. And as you grow in your faith with God, it's so much easier to be obedient when God is telling you something to do. Because if God is giving you a message now and says, yes, you've got to go to, you've got to be careful with all the countries, with all the people sitting over here. You've got to go to Norway and you've got to plant a church over there. If you've been walking with God and if you've been speaking with God, then such a type of message, it's much easier for you to handle it. Because if such a message comes on your table, And God says, you've got to go to Norway. And you say, what, where is coming from? Prepare yourself. Be busy with God. Spend time with his word. Pray. Listen to him. Submit yourself to him. And then if God is giving you an instruction, it's so much easier to be obedient. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are God, that you've made us. And yes, we sometimes feel that we are disobedient, that we're not doing what you want us to do, or we're actually not even hearing the message because we're too busy with something else, which we put higher as what you have got to be in our lives. But Father, that we can become obedient, that we don't to focus too much on the things what we are not doing, but that we're going to focus on the things what you want us to do, Father, that we become obedient, that we're going to grow in faith with you, that obedience can grow in us, Father, and that you can use us because you want to use each and every one of us. You've got a plan for each and every one of us. We are on different stages and we are on different places, but you've placed us at a certain place with a certain idea. And Father, that you're going to reveal that to us. How do you want to use us at the different places where we are going? That we can carry that banner of Jesus, that our lives can reflect your glory in the area where we are, that we can reflect your light in this dark world, because that's where we agree upon, Father, that this is a dark world where we're living in at the moment, and there's a lot of fear on the outside, and people are chasing fear. But you give us peace, Father, and that we can reflect that peace to the world around us, that they can see and experience Christ in us, and that we can be obedient towards the instruction what you're giving us. Thank you, Father, that you've got a plan for each and every one of us, different stages, so that we can be obedient to your calling, in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures he makes me lie down. He restores my soul and leads me on for his name, for his great name. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me in all my days. And I will dwell in your house forever and bless your holy name. Prepare a table right before me in the presence of my enemy. Though the arrow flies and the terror of night is at my door, I'll trust you, Lord. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me in all my days. And I will dwell in your love forever and bless your holy name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but you are on my side. Oh. Of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil. Even though I walk through the valley Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me in all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever and bless your holy name. Surely goodness and surely mercy right beside me in all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever.
Thank you. God bless you for joining us. As we walk through this week, let's walk in the power and the might of the Lord to obey Him as we grow in faith. God bless you for joining, and have a very blessed week. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.